Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing well.
Good.
Solving the problems of the world.
One by one.
Yeah. Now, we want to talk about coronavirus. It stays in the news, although there's other things going on. I'll tell you that, Libya is, I think, very significant. And also the conflict building between the United States and China. We can't ignore that. You know, we will have to get back to that because it's not getting better. And we shouldn't be surprised because, you know, people who don't trade tend to get more military conflicts.
Yeah.
And we seem to be falling in those footsteps. But right now, people are most concerned about the war we have here at home, the war against the people and the war against freedom in health care and how you treat coronavirus. But we're going to be, putting a chart up here in a second. And it's a chart about Sweden,
mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it in some. And then, because actually they didn't follow all the rules, and things look pretty good. So I think, Daniel, why don't we go ahead and put that chart up for us, and we'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's amazing, Dr. Paul. I mean, this is from a piece that Mike Whitney wrote for the UNS Review, and we reprinted it on RonPaulInstitute.org website. But it basically, one picture tells, you said 10,000 words. You're right, maybe a million words, but this is the number of people dying daily in Sweden with confirmed COVID-19. You saw the peak back in late March, early April, and you see where they are today. And now the response to Sweden not locking down was pretty harsh, and Mike Whitney puts it out in his article what the headlines were at the time. Sweden becomes an example of how not to handle COVID-19, CBS News. Sweden has become the world's cautionary tale, New York Times. And here's a good one. I'll just end with this one from Forbes. Sweden stayed open and more people died of COVID-19, but the real reason may be something darker.
Yes. The media's at it, and mm-hmm. they're consistently wrong, and people write about it, but more people are waking up and realizing, that they're not giving us the straight scoop. But there's a lot of people that get terribly frightened about it. It's hard to erase that fear that's built into the system. So this is amazing what they've been going on, and so many people won't listen to that. But I just think that chart is so dramatic, you know. And why wouldn't the media, think that it'd be best to maybe ask a question once in a while? How do you explain this? Are they completely wrong? Of course, they said they were completely wrong in going in that direction. Well, the results are in, It's sort of like the results are in on Marxism and communism and radical socialism, and yet the results don't seem to be influencing the many people in the world, because it seems like there's a strong effort, even in our country, to move toward those things. So there's a refusal, and I think it touches on, almost like a cult. If you're a good American and patriotic, I'm going to stand up for it. I'll even tase people who won't wear their mask and this sort of thing. They lose control of that. But this is what's been going on. But it's not only here. I think in Uruguay there was some evidence there that not locking down was beneficial. They took a different position.
Yeah, and we have some charts for that too, and we should talk about it, because this is what they don't want people to talk about and think about. Because most countries, the vast majority of the countries, they listen, they put their heads down and listen to what the, quote, experts were saying. Lock everything down, shut everything down, quarantine healthy people, which I've been told is the first time in history anyone has ever done that. Quarantine healthy people, young people who don't get the disease, keep them out of schools, don't let anyone do sport, don't let anyone go outside and make some vitamin D to help their immune system. Just stay inside, hunker down, and be miserable. And a few countries didn't, and Sweden is one of them. And now the results are in, and as Mike Whitney said in his piece, yes, the criticism of Sweden is that they had some deaths, they had more deaths than the countries around them in Scandinavia, but they also did much better than Belgium, Italy, France, UK, Spain, certainly better than New York, which Fauci said was the model for coronavirus response. They did better than all these countries, and they didn't shut down their economy. In fact, Dr. Paul, I want to put this up because I know you're going to have a comment on it. Let's look at the next. Look at this. This is from Yahoo Finance. I think it was yesterday, a couple of days ago. Swedish companies reap benefits of countries' COVID-19 approach. And it quotes, the quarterly earnings reports from Swedish companies are coming in, and they say that company after company has beaten expectations. Here's the chief equity strategist at the lender SEB, Esbjorn Lundvall. Here's what he said. I have never seen such a high proportion of companies coming in with better profits than expected. It's almost every company. This is Sweden.
You know, and if people dig into this, they get glimpses. Well, this looks like not free enterprise system. This is government. And the far left and the Marxists use this. And they say this is nothing but a crony. They don't even call it. They say this is capitalism. This is how it works. And that's the natural thing. But the whole thing is it's not capitalism at all. It's a corporatism where the corporations get in bed with the government, but if they're doing it for something like medicine and taking care of medicine, are you going to deny them making profits? They use that same argument, you know, for the military-industrial complex. You know, we have to defend this country. How can you spare any money? You know, you have to buy these weapons and all. So it is used, you know, as a technique to get sympathy by the people and say, yes, we have to spend the money, but it's corrupt, and it is. And then the worst part, too, is we've come to the conclusion that what they're doing, and it shouldn't surprise us, what they're doing is not the smartest things in the world. It's not like wise people spending some money like you're supposed to do in the marketplace. But this is not the market. This is not the marketplace at all. This is the way that some companies make more money than others if you're on the inside.
And Sweden has done well. They didn't lock down their economy. People were out at restaurants. They went. Yeah, they had some restrictions. It wasn't completely free for all. But compare the results in Sweden to the U.S. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Cuomo won't even let you have a chicken wing. You know, I mean, he's down to the point where he's sitting there deciding whether you're allowed to have chicken wings or not. And here is Sweden, okay, just be responsible. You know, keep the older folks, try to take care of them. I mean, how did Americans fall for this? Were they so duped? And here they are, they're still running around with their masks on. You know, how could this happen? You know, Americans consider themselves so individualistic.
I have a theory.
What's that?
They're addicted. They have the addiction problem. They're addicted to the concept of a free lunch.
Yeah.
And they're not going to give it up. And yet there are some people out there who are in business, good business people. Matter of fact, the small business people are pretty good, and they're the ones who are getting wiped out.
Yeah.
And the big corporations are getting more powerful than ever. But there's a lot of people. I mean, the saying goes, and there's some truth to this, is the government we have is supported by the people, or they would overthrow it. But there's a lot of in-between stuff that goes on. Yes, eventually that happens. People finally got disgusted with communism, but look at the suffering that occurred.
Yeah.
So this is why that's not an easy out. But it also tells us, in order for our views to be heard, we have to get support from the people. This is why we try to broaden our audience so that people will support these positions. And there still is a little bit of benefit from this, even though it's very cumbersome. Though I was in Washington for a while, I wasn't naive thinking, all I need is about three more people and I'll pass legislation. The whole purpose was to tell people that there's another way to do it, and we need more supporters, and to convert the people. Then the best example I can use on a bit of a success was when we wanted to talk about the Federal Reserve and get the people to know about auditing. I didn't stick around for 25 years and become the chairman of the banking committee. I had no interest. But we went to the people, and the people went to their congressmen. And we had every Republican and a lot of Democrats vote for auditing the Fed. So you do have to change people's minds, but it's politics is secondary. The first is education. We're involved in that as we reveal to the best of our ability what is actually going on. You know, I want to just mention an article here that I won't go into too deeply, and this was on Lucite today, and he said, this is by Joseph Mercola, physician.
Good guy.
He says, consistent inaccuracies on COVID is to testing and reporting. And there's a lot of good stuff in there, and this is one of the things that we've been fussing about. It's inconsistent. Yeah. What are tests, and how do they get the negatives, and how do they get the positives, and how they switch to no negatives, everything's positive, everybody has the disease, and that's why millions of people won't dare go and get their medical care. That's still existing, even though it was worse, you know, a while back. But it. But if somebody in the audience would like to follow up on this, this is a good article to read.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the description. But you're finishing up with what Whitney said. I think his concluding sentence, or nearly concluding sentence, was great. And he said, Sweden was on the right track from the beginning and is rapidly returning to normal, while the U.S. is sinking deeper into a crisis of its own making. And that is it. We made this crisis. We didn't. But the morons who run this country made this crisis, destroyed our economy. But, you know, you could say, well, Sweden is an outlier here. You know, this is the exception that proves the rule that you got to lock down. Well, I don't know, Dr. Paul. We were looking at Latin America, and we found some interesting things. Let's look at that next clip. This are a comparison of cumulative number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in Latin America. Look at Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia, Panama, up. You may not see it, but that magenta line on the bottom is Uruguay, almost zero. Let's look at the next one. Let's talk about deaths. Same thing. Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia, Panama, Uruguay, right there on the zero line. What do all of these have in common? Well, let's look at the next slide. Uruguay rides out COVID threat without imposing lockdown. And that is so interesting. I want to read you a couple of quotes from this piece, actually, Agence France-Presse. It started out, Dr. Paul, Uruguay's president was recently photographed surfing in the early morning ahead of a cabinet meeting, symbolizing his government's belief that a policy of, quote, freedom and responsibility in containing COVID-19 pandemic is succeeding. And you scroll down a little bit, and this is fascinating. I just want to, because you're going to love this last quote. That's why I'll read it. Amid industry furloughs and school border closures, officials urged people to stay indoors and strictly adhere to social distancing. The message was drilled home in the media and by police helicopters flying overhead. But the center-right president, who took office in early March as the pandemic was heating up, has said that he opted for, quote, individual freedom rather than a, quote, police regime. The calls for self-isolation were followed. People followed reasonable guidelines. But he said, I'm not going to shut the country down. I'm not going to do this. And the results are there. Let's have a couple more, because those ones that we compared it to, let's just go through really quickly these other two, because maybe they were the same. Nope. Peru's coronavirus response was right on time, so why isn't it working? This is what a doctor said. They shut it down. They shut the whole thing down, and you saw the numbers. It was terrible. The other one's on the chart. Bolivia extends its lockdown. Look at everyone's got their mask on. They were terrible. And it's even weirder in Panama, Dr. Paul. Let's look at that. They have to separate men and women in Panama. People are going to be really upset over there. None of these things did anything, but Uruguay, which did almost nothing, is in the best shape.
You know, when you look at that chart, it's almost like when's the second wave coming? Because that's the fearmonger. Okay, yeah. It's come down a little bit because what we're doing is working, but you got to realize the second wave is coming. And I think most of the stuff we hear about second wave is manufactured for the benefit of people who want to demagogue the issue. But these charts are pretty dramatic. They're high and they come right back down, and they didn't go through the pain and suffering. I was thinking of the one individual that mentioned that that they wouldn't do that, and they were telling people that we believe in a little bit of freedom here. Yeah. I think, well, you know, there was a time when America prided themselves that we were spreading the message of liberty. It's a good thing we did a little bit of it, because some of that's coming back and trying to instruct us what it's all about. And we certainly didn't lead the charge. And I personally think it's related to the empire, and not a Roman empire, but in principle, it's the same thing, that we run the show, whether it's the IMF or whatever. We're in charge because it's the money. But that's all changing. We're in the midst of the diminishing power of the empire. And I think for the cause of liberty, that is good. For the cause of health, I think that is good. I don't need Fauci telling us what to do, and that he's king of the hill. He's been a great detriment to us.
Yeah, and he continues to be. I wanted to just go back to Peru for a second, because I think this article, and we showed the headline, I think it encapsulates really what the real problem is. And this is a quote from Elmer Huerta, a Peruvian doctor. He's a trusted broadcaster on public health. He's probably one of their Fauci types. And here's what he said. He was mad at the people. He said, Peru's response was right on time. It was the first Latin American country to respond with a lockdown. But the big problem was people's behavior. The fact that on the eighth week of confinement, you had thousands of people who were testing positive means those people got the virus while the country was in lockdown, which means they did not respect the law. What a weird conclusion. Maybe it means that the lockdown doesn't work in preventing people from getting the virus. But they never think that. They never even have for a second stop and think, you know, maybe my premises are completely wrong.
Well, the big thing is they have an agenda, and the agenda that they should be following is contradicts what's happening, and they have to make it so that people get in and have another position and go into denial. You know, but they've... You know, there's always news about the vaccines. They keep working on it, and there's going to be dozens of vaccines and billions of dollars, and they're really, really busy. And they're talking, there's been pretty good statistics. Matter of fact, anything that's related to coronavirus, sometimes they say they never get a vaccine, you know, that actually works. It's sort of like, when are you going to get a good vaccine that's going to take care of colds?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't happen. But the money is being spent, and they're still holding their breath, and they said, well, no, it's not going to be ready anytime soon, maybe the end of the year, next year. What are those poor people in Sweden going to do if they don't get that vaccine over there? So, you know, hurry, hurry, hurry. And besides, they might not even be anxious to have a vaccination after it's all over. Well, we survived it. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Why do we have to take a risk with one of these vaccines? But, you know, Fauci was interviewed, and he says it isn't, he's not particularly concerned, you know, about it. It may be a little bit of a problem, but you don't have to worry about safety. And he said that the virus they can take care of, and they shouldn't be concerned about it. But I keep thinking when the announcement this early about the vaccine, don't worry, it's safe. That means we better be.
We better worry.
Anyway, he's tipped us off. There's something here, you know, something to worry about. But and they're planning tens. The numbers are staggering. Tens of millions of injections to give, and it's. But you don't worry. 60% effective.
60%.
Only 40% won't be taken care of. And the other thing is, and I think we've mentioned this before, is when the new companies come in, if they come up, even though we've invested a lot in Moderna, and if that comes out, if they come up with something 70%, we just cancel the other contract. That's just money down the drain. And that's, you know, the opposite of what a market would do. I mean, there would be a market response to people getting sick, but it wouldn't be driven by politics, you know, and building the fear and making sure, well, the worst thing you can do for this is what if... chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine. What if it really is good? And like I believe, and you give it early, and you give it, you should be able to give it pretty much on your own, but you give it with doctor's supervision. But the big thing is it there are problems, and you know, when people are very, very sick, I don't think anybody believes it's going to all of a sudden cure somebody like that. But if they get it early, there's a tremendous benefit from that. So That medicine's been around for 65 years. It's safe and it's been used, and tons of it's been used in India. It's used against tuberculosis, and they use it, you know, for the coronavirus. But what did they do? Are they encouraging it? The first thing they should have done was make sure you didn't even need a prescription for it. You know, we give aspirin and antibiotics, and you can get them easily. But no, they take it off the market. You can barely get it. And if a doctor wants to order it, they have to sign. We've done the testing. And the testing, I mean, I have even more articles here to why you can't even believe the testing. And even if you had accurate tests, then can you believe the people reporting the tests? Yeah. You know, they'll mess up on the reporting. But we've made it worse. And like you've already mentioned earlier, that it's a problem of our own making.
I want to bring up something you mentioned earlier because it reminds me of something an example you always make. And this is, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, even billions going to this company. Oh, this one has a slightly better one. Let's give them some money. It reminds me of, remember, the helicopter thing. Oh, you know, the helicopter, the military.
Yeah.
Or the military contract. This company and that company, they're both making them. Oh, let's just give them both contracts, you know. So really the medical industrial complex is mimicking the military industrial complex in how they get money and use it.
Talking about Columbia, I don't think that settled the whole debate down there about the drugs.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The helicopter companies made a lot of money, but that didn't solve the problem.
I was going to read this one from that article that you mentioned, just sort of get your take on it, because this I think a lot of people are having, you know, Fauci isn't concerned at all. He doesn't care about the safety. But a lot of people are a little concerned, and I think this is why. He said the vaccine, which, this is for the article, the vaccine which entered a large Phase 3 human trial Monday uses messenger ribonucleic acid, or mRNA, molecules to provoke an immune response to fight the virus. Scientists hope mRNA, which relays genetic instructions from DNA, can be used to train the immune system to recognize and destroy the virus. While early studies show promise, mRNA technology has never been used to make a successful vaccine before. That makes me worried. Maybe Fauci isn't, but that kind of makes me worried. They're putting some stuff in there that's going to reprogram your DNA.
But Bill Gates is he's washing it for us. He's protecting us.
He's a scientist.
Yeah, and you know what his ultimate goals are in life.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't like anything that deals with increasing the population. He needs to thin out the population.
That's what he likes doing.
But, you know, there was another item in here. I think you brought it to my attention, and that is the World Bank.
Yeah.
And the IMF, I mean, this is like a bribe, bribing him with our money.
Yeah.
They say, okay, you're not doing what you said. We don't want you to act like Sweden.
Yeah.
We want you to act like United States or whatever. So, but we're not going to give you your money. And this is, and you know, some of this stuff is so out of control. It may well be that even our president, if he had it to say, boy, he'll probably come and say, well, that is crazy, you know. But that's not the case. The bureaucracy internationally and everything is so big. But anyway, the World Bank and the IMF came up and said that Belarus, I think, was involved.
Yeah.
We're not going to give your money until you straighten up. We want you to, don't ever look to Sweden for leadership. We don't want you to do that.
And we have actually a couple of clips, but I can't resist this one, this next clip, just for a second, Dr. Paul. This is the Southern Californian in me just loves this. If we can look at that next clip. Here is the president of Uruguay having a good time, making some vitamin D, fighting COVID out there in the waves. What a good guy. He looks like a good guy, at least. Let's go to Belarus, because this is interesting. Here's how Belarus has handled coronavirus. It's almost like Sweden. They've not closed anything. They've not done anything. In fact, the president, Lukashenko, said, just go to the sauna and drink a little bit extra vodka. You'll be fine. Let's look at the next one. But this is something he said in a press conference this week. He said that the IMF and World Bank told him, if you want your loans, if you want this $940 million in rapid financing, you're going to have to follow the Italian model of COVID. Lockdown. Here's what he said. We hear the demands, for example, to model our coronavirus response on that of Italy. I don't want to see the Italian situation repeat in Belarus. We have our own country and our own situation. And here's what he said that's interesting about the IMF. He said, meanwhile, the IMF continues to demand from us quarantine measures, isolation, and curfew. This is nonsense. We will not dance to anyone's tune. That's Lukashenko. And if that's true, maybe he's lying. Maybe he's just blowing smoke. But if it is true, that's really some food for the conspiracy theorists, that the IMF is around there trying to get everyone to lock down.
Isn't it interesting? All of a sudden, things are all turned upside down. We are no longer the spreader of the message of liberty. There's no way we are. We distort it, and it makes the problems a lot worse. And we have this temporary wealth that we get out of a printing press machine. And yet you have these other countries. You know, I noticed this. I don't make many trips overseas, but a while back I went to Slovakia, and the president there was a sympathizer to Mises, and they translated human action into Czech. So I went over there, and it was utterly amazing that they were putting Mises on a high stool. And, you know, and I think back on some of the presidential stuff, that some of the reporters, they were decent reporters. They were actually not mean and nasty, but inquisitive. They'd say, well, what is this stuff about Austrian economics and things like that? They had no idea that there was a different school of thought.
Yeah.
And everything we have is capitalism. All the corruption in this system that we have is capitalism. I think that has set up the stage for the real enemy, and the real enemy has been able to use that. And I think that's one of the failures of libertarians and conservatives and Republicans, of not being able to defend themselves against the disaster. What were we trying to do, a few months ago before the bubble burst, before coronavirus and before Black Lives Matter riots and before the financial bubble burst? It was, we were trying to tell them, that's when you have to know it's coming, all the mistakes, the economy is wrong, bad policy. But we can apply those principles to the foreign policy too. I mean, how many times we have worked real hard, especially with the Middle East wars that went on.
Yeah.
And of course, that's why I mentioned early in the program, why we cannot forget about what is building. You know, the people, the hawks in the Republican Party, boy, there are some that would go bomb China right now.
Yeah.
You know, they're just crazy about this. And they do it, and they have that almost like they've conditioned the people on coronavirus. If you don't go along with this, you hate people, you want them all to die, or you're not patriotic, and that's what they'll do here. But then when they look back, you know, that Iraq war was the worst dumb thing we ever did. How could anybody have done it?
And they fall for it again and again,
yeah,
and again the
right.
Next time. Well, I'm going to close out with a chart, and I'm focused on Texas, you know, not only because I live here, but partly because we live here. But I think it's also a symbol, Texas and Florida as well. Let's look at that last chart. This is interesting. This is why the numbers are so tricky and so easily manipulated. Now, they've always been doing reported day of death versus actual day of death. And what happens when they do that, Dr. Paul, is you'll have some front-loaded, very, very high deaths at certain times, because a lot of the deaths actually occurred in April, and they report them in late July. But if you look at this chart, these are the recent few days, second half of the month of July in Texas. The blue graph is the actual day of death. And if you look at that, it's dramatic. The decline in actual day of death, deaths per day, is dramatic. But look how it's being reported. That's the red one. So it's looking like there's a massive spike in deaths in Texas, when in reality, these deaths occurred months ago. It completely distorts the policymaking process. Abbott is looking at this and saying, oh my gosh, I gotta lock everything down. Unbelievable. But really, the truth is something very, very different. I don't know how to get people to see this and understand this, but I think it's very, very significant. And so, be careful with the numbers. The numbers are being manipulated. Everything's being manipulated. So take a deep breath. Go surfing.
Right. And I think our problems are going to be around for a while. And I've seen a few clips on individuals who challenge the people that are trying to enforce the lockdown. And the approach that has been successful is not to allow them to ask you questions and badger you and telling you what to do, become very inquisitive. you know, why are you doing this? What are you doing? Ask the enforcer more questions, because they're not on good legal grounds. They're not on good moral ground. And yet we have been taught, I guess, to be, law-abiding citizens. We don't want to, but there is a time you have to ask questions. And I've tried to follow that rule in Congress, that more of asking questions, why do you do this? Why do you do this? Rather than saying, yelling and screaming at people. But right now, there's so much of this law enforcement, the mayors, in the various cities and county judges and all. So people have to, but they have to know the answers too on why are they doing this. And that we've seen some homeschoolers here in our own town asking them to see the police back down because they were smarter than the police, because they don't have moral or legal grounds to do most of what it is. I think the easiest thing for me to remember is an executive order is very, very close to just a suggestion by the authority himself and does not have legal authority to it. It's not a law. It wasn't passed by a legislative branch. It wasn't signed into law other than by an official. And right now we have an epidemic of that. I would like to see somebody do this. Go and look at the executive orders of the politicians, and we'll exclude the national executive orders. Put the president aside for a moment. Just go into all the cities and towns and counties and states and add up the executive orders and find out how many of them cared at all about your civil liberties. I think there's going to be a lot of executive orders that has caused a lot of trouble and really could have been solved and prevented by just asking the question, where does your authority come from? And fortunately, the side of the argument is what they have done has been very damaging. And if people are half honest with themselves, they'll say, we're on the wrong track and we should change our ways. We're hoping we can help people change their minds about what the government does to us, and certainly the way coronavirus lockdowns has been used. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.